letter to the Hebrews. And in lots of ways, all that has been said already is by way of preparation for this specific passage. This is the high point, the fulfillment and the culmination of all that the author has been preparing us for. As he's looked at the temple, as he looked at the first covenant, as he looked at the journey of the people of God through the wilderness into the promised land. As he looked at the covenant that he first made with Abraham, with Moses, covenant that was then renewed at the time King David. The way that all of that came to its culmination in the building of the temple. That place on earth where the kingdom of God was most present, where heaven and earth came together, where God could be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Now, in this particular passage, he's wanting us to know very specifically that there's this new dimension that is entering into their experience. He paints the picture. He doesn't actually name Mount Sinai as the place that he's referring to, but that's the implication. That's the place that he's talking about. That place that was so filled with the very presence of God. A place of thunder and lightning and this whirlwind, this massive storm that was present there. A place where Moses was instructed, let no one else come near the mountain. This place is so fearful that Moses himself, who was able to go into the very presence of God, Moses felt afraid being on this place of encounter. He's saying, no, what you have come to is not Mount Sinai. You have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion was the citadel, that central place within the city of David, the place that David first established as his capital city back 1,000 years before Christ. It was the place where the Temple Mount existed, where the temple was built, the first and then the second temple. Mount Zion then became the sign and the symbol of all that they had been hoping for, all that they longed for. Now, what the author is referring to is not the present temple there in the city of David. He's saying, this is what you're still waiting for. This is what you're still longing for, the revelation of heaven. But it's not a heaven that's away somewhere else. It's not a heaven that involves clouds and harps. It's a very concrete heaven, a heaven that we can experience. And the incredible thing is that the author says, you have already come there. Whenever we gather for the Eucharist, whenever we offer our worship to God, there is this opportunity, this experience of allowing heaven to touch earth, of allowing that very promise and fulfillment to be realized. Why? As we saw in the previous three chapters, in chapters 8, 9, and 10, that everything had been fulfilled in the perfect sacrifice of Christ. That all that he had offered as the true high priest, all of that had now brought this possibility that we as brothers and sisters of Jesus were now able to join in the worship of God in this city. A city like in the vision that the author of Revelation, St. John, has in the final two chapters in Scripture, in Revelation 21 and 22. Where there's this revelation of this heavenly Jerusalem coming down like a bride adorned for her husband in this wonderful celebration of marriage. That just as in that vision, there's no need for a specific temple, no need for a particular place to worship God, because anywhere in that city, God is able to be worshipped. It's exactly the same vision here. And who is there? The myriads of angels around the throne, worshipping God in this great celebration, this great experience of a party, a wonderful sense of all that God has prepared. And how are we able to be part of that? Not because of the works of righteousness that we have done, but simply because of grace. Simply because God has called us, God has sanctified us, God through the ministry of Jesus, the high priest, has fulfilled and answered every one of our desires, every one of our longings. He has purified us. He has done this work in us. So it's the Christian people who have offered themselves to God who are able to be part of this celebration, to live in this city, to experience the wonder and the beauty of God. It's just a magnificent vision, and it's worth reading again and again in different translations, try and capture some of that sense of what it is that God has prepared for us. The way that He wants us to receive this perfect vision of life with Him, to be purified, to live lives of moral worth, to live lives truly dedicated to Him. And this, the final line, we have come not just to God Himself, we've also come to Jesus. It's a beautiful, wonderful, magnificent image, and one that's, as I said, worth pondering over and over again.